This is the one-stop FPL podcast. Hello and welcome to One Stop FPL with me, your host, Andy Johnson. On today's episode, we will take a look back at Game Week 15. We'll look across all of the results and I'll give you my key performers and my star and flop of the week. And then we'll take a look at Game Week 16. We'll run through the fixtures, we'll talk some informed players, discuss potential transfers in and out, captaincy, differentials, and as always, we'll finish off with my likely team ahead of Game Week 16. So let's get into it. Right then, a quick turnaround for game weeks this week after the midweek game week 15. I'll run through the results as quickly as possible. We had Wolves 1, Burnley 0. The goal came from Hwang Hee-chan, an assist from Cunha. Luton 3, Arsenal 4. Goals for Luton for Adebayo, Osho and Barkley. Two assists for Doty and one for Andros Townsend. But four separate goal scorers for Arsenal got them the win. Kai Havertz, Gabriel Jesus, Martinelli and Declan Rice at the death. Assists for Jesus, Odegaard, Saka and White. Brighton 2, Brentford 1. Goals for Brighton came from Pascal Gross and Hinchelwood, with assists for Pascal Gross and Mitoma. And Brentford's goal came from Mbeumo with the assist from Jan Elt. However, Mbeumo has picked up an injury and we will discuss that later. Crystal Palace 0, Bournemouth 2. Goals for Bournemouth came from Moore and Senesi with assists from Billing and Sinisterra. Fulham 5, Nottingham Forest 0. Iwobi getting 2, Raul Jimenez getting 2. Great to see him back to goal scoring ways. And Kearney getting 1 as well. 3 assists for Andreas Pereira. He was a great FPL asset last season, but unfortunately hasn't been delivering so far this year. So that was nice to see him back to point scoring ways. Wilson and Willian also with assists each. Sheffield United 0, Liverpool 2. Goals from Szoboszlai and Virgil van Dijk. Trent Alexander-Arnold and Darwin each with assists. Aston Villa 1, Manchester City 0. The goal came from Leon Bailey. Tielemans getting the assist. Once again, Manchester City struggling with Rodri's absence. He will be back this week, so probably shouldn't expect too many of these results for Manchester City. Manchester United 2, Chelsea 1. 2 goals from Scott McTominay. An assist for Garnacho and Maguire got Manchester United the win. Cole Palmer getting on the score sheet for Chelsea and Mudryk got the assist. Everton 3, Newcastle 0. Goals for Everton came from Doucouré, McNeil and Beto. And Newcastle's poor form away from home continues. And finally, rounding off game week 15, we had Spurs 1, West Ham 2. Spurs goal came from Romero, a Pedro Porro assist. And the goals from West Ham from Jared Bowen and James Ward-Prowse. So that's game week 15. I'll quickly give you my star and flop of the week. Couple of contenders for star of the week. An honourable mention goes to Dwight McNeil at Everton. His goal and an assist helped Everton out of the drop zone despite recently receiving a 10-point deduction. He returned 14 points, as did Scott McTominay. His 2 goals gave Manchester United a much-needed win over Chelsea. And it was also fantastic to see Raul Jimenez back to goal-scoring ways on the score sheet twice in a 5-0 thumping of Nottingham Forest for Fulham. He got 13 points. But the top point scorer of the game week is Andreas Pereira, and he gets star of the week 15-point return with a hat-trick of assists. A really great FPL asset last season, hasn't been doing it in a really struggling Fulham side this season, but he helped his team to that 5-0 victory and propelled Fulham up to the heady heights of 12th in the Premier League, something that we wouldn't have been expecting a few weeks ago. But very impressive from Andreas Pereira. He gets star of the week. As for flop of the week, there were a couple of contenders. The likes of Isak and Anthony Gordon at Newcastle failed to deliver in their game away at Everton, as did Erling Haaland away at Villa Park. Son had a really disappointing performance at home against West Ham. However, Bruno Fernandes, despite his side actually getting a much needed victory, Bruno Fernandes delivered a 0 point return in a game where they won, scored 2 goals, and he had a penalty. So it might have been a good result for Manchester United, but in FPL terms, Bruno Fernandes gets this week's flop of the week. Okay, let's start thinking about game week 16. The deadline is Saturday, the 9th of December at 11 a.m. UK time. We'll quickly run through the fixtures. Crystal Palace at home against Liverpool is the early kickoff. Then we've got Brighton against Burnley, Manchester United versus Bournemouth, Sheffield United take on Brentford, Wolves host Nottingham Forest, and Aston Villa are at home to Arsenal. And then on Sunday, we've got Everton versus Chelsea, Fulham versus West Ham, Luton take on Manchester City, and Spurs at home again against Newcastle. A couple of standout fixtures that I think FPL managers will be keeping a close eye on in game week 16. Both Manchester City and Liverpool are away, but they face Luton and Crystal Palace respectively. So certainly on paper, we would expect the favourites to win those games. And our FPL assets from each of those sides, we would be hoping for points returns from them. Interesting game between Aston Villa and Arsenal. Aston Villa put on a great performance against Manchester City in midweek, a 1-0 victory for them. Can they back that up with another impressive performance against Arsenal this weekend? I'm sure a lot was taken out of them in getting that result, but they're in fine form and Arsenal are shipping goals. Despite the late winner, there will be a feel-good factor, but the truth is Arsenal conceded 3 goals at Luton. So they certainly have a defence that is penetrable and Aston Villa will certainly be looking to exploit it. There's also huge pressure on Tottenham, who are at home again just a couple of days after that defeat to West Ham. They host Newcastle this time, which on paper should be a tougher fixture. However, they will probably be hoping that Newcastle's very poor away form continues. Now, when it comes to transfers, there's one player on everyone's minds, and it's Mbeumo. With so many looking to bring him in, myself included, with this great fixture run that Brentford have. Unfortunately, despite getting the goal, he also picked up an injury in game week 15. He's been definitively ruled out. We don't know for how long yet, but it looks like it will be a long-term injury and we're going to need Mbeumo replacements. Loads of potential options to consider, which also means we'll start to see far less template sides with lots of people opting for different approaches. We could see a few people investing in a third choice striker and maybe shifting from a 3-5-2 to a 3-4-3. There's also loads of midfield options still to replace Mbeumo. The first one I'm going to look at is Raheem Sterling. Now, he does look like a pretty good contender. He hasn't been particularly consistent and neither have Chelsea. However, Chelsea's fixture run is too good to ignore. The next 6 for Chelsea are Everton, Sheffield United, Wolves, Crystal Palace, Luton and Fulham. Now, Everton's form has improved, so game week 16 is not going to be easy for a Chelsea side that have been struggling of late. But on paper, you'd probably look at all 6 of those fixtures and think Chelsea are the favourites. Pochettino has had to deal with a lot of injuries at Chelsea so far this season, but with a couple of them on the way back into contention, we could see an improved Chelsea side during this good fixture run. So Sterling has shown the ability to be explosive in his point scoring this season. He just hasn't been particularly consistent. But at 7 million, Sterling could be a really good alternative to Mbeumo. The next one that I think is still worth considering, even though a couple of the really good fixtures have already gone, is Hwang Hee-chan at Wolves. He is continuing to deliver regular returns at the moment. So far this season, he's got 8 goals and 2 assists. And since Pedro Neto got injured, Hwang has really stepped up for this Wolves side. He's got 2 goals in his last 3 appearances, so he's in good form. And the next 6 for Wolves are Nottingham Forest, West Ham, Chelsea, Brentford, Everton and Brighton. So a couple of decent fixtures there. Not necessarily the easiest, but certainly teams that have been conceding quite a few goals. And Hwang has definitely got an eye for goal at the moment. Another very popular option for a lot of FPL managers is Anthony Gordon. He has been in very good form recently. He obviously disappointed owners in the last game week against his old Everton side, but he does have 3 goals and 1 assist in his last 5, and he got double-digit FPL returns against both Manchester United and Chelsea before that Everton fixture, so we've seen him be fairly reliable, even with slightly more difficult fixtures. There is a potential question mark, perhaps, around where he might play in this Newcastle side if and when Callum Wilson is fit and playing. Does Wilson play up front alongside Isak, and does that push Anthony Gordon out wide? Does Callum Wilson come in for Isak and Isak plays wide, and does that threaten Gordon's minutes? Definitely worth considering, but for now, he does look like a good option. The next potential Brian and Bermo replacement is Jarrod Bowen. He's been doing well in a fairly inconsistent West Ham side so far this season. He is very much the main goal threat for them alongside Kudus. And after the injury, which made him only miss just the 1 game week, he is back to playing the full 90 minutes every game, which is pretty important when these games come thick and fast. The increased chance of rotation and players being benched does evoke plenty of fear in FPL managers. So reliable 90-minute men are what we need in our teams. And Jarrod Bowen is definitely that. He got himself on the score sheet again against Spurs. That's 3 goals in his last 6. But he is one of the more expensive options, 7.6 million. So not guaranteed to be an affordable replacement. You'd have to have some money in the bank. If you are in the market for a West Ham asset, then there is, of course, James Ward-Prowse. He too got on the score sheet against Spurs. Very much Mr. Reliable. Ticks along fairly nicely. Not the most explosive in terms of point scoring, but you could go down that route. I think the slightly more exciting option is Kudus. He's listed as a midfielder on the game, but he's essentially playing as a central attacker for West Ham. He's got 5 goal involvements in his last 5 appearances. That's 2 goals and 3 assists. And he's 6.6 million, so a little cheaper than Bowen, but perhaps a little pricier than some of the other alternatives I've mentioned so far. It's also worth noting West Ham's fixtures. They do have Fulham this week, which would typically be seen as a pretty favourable fixture. However, Fulham have just scored 5, so perhaps not as easy as first thought. West Ham then have Wolves, which isn't too bad, but they do then face United and Arsenal. They've got a couple of good fixtures after that, but not necessarily the greatest run. There are also, of course, a couple of Manchester City options. I think Foden probably looks like the most appealing midfielder from them if Doku is still unavailable through injury. While City have not been their usual dominant selves, they are still scoring goals and creating chances. I do think that Villa result in midweek and the performance was very much down to Rodri's absence more than anything. Him not playing through suspension cost them dearly. Every time he's been unavailable, City have struggled this season. He's back this weekend, so won't be at all surprised to see a very different Manchester City go to Luton, make a return to winning ways and goal-scoring ways. It is just worth bearing in mind with City players. Manchester City blank in game week 18, which is not too far away now. So, if you have Haaland already and you're considering doubling or tripling up on Manchester City players, you do need to have a plan for how to navigate that blank game week in game week 18, as both Manchester City and Brentford won't be playing. So if you've got players from those sides, you need a plan of action so that you don't have too many of them and you can still field a full 11 come game week 18. Liverpool's favourable fixture will see a few people looking at attacking assets from them if they haven't already brought in the likes of Darwin. Unfortunately, he was benched in game week 15, which would have frustrated a lot of people who would have brought him in. He did come off the bench, however, and got himself an assist after he had started the previous five games. Luis Diaz started but didn't deliver, and with the close turnaround in these fixtures, I do think that Darwin will be back in the starting lineup against Crystal Palace this weekend. So I do think that Darwin is still a viable option in attack. It was also interesting to see no Tsimikas in the starting 11 for Liverpool in game week 15. Again, I do think that's down to the fixture pileup and quick turnaround of matches. So we'll probably see Tsimikas return to that left back spot in place of Joe Gomez come the Crystal Palace game. It does raise concerns, though, going into this busy period, that he might not be as nailed each game week as many would like him to be. So perhaps long term, we do need to start thinking about Tsimikas replacements. Andy Robertson will likely be back in the new year at some point, so not too long away now. And we've had a good run with Tsimikas. Great when you get the understudy for nice and cheap, but all good things come to an end, and at some point Tsimikas' run in this side will do just that. So we perhaps need to start thinking about alternative defensive assets. Certainly doesn't have to be immediately, but we do need to start considering it. And speaking of some alternative defensive assets, Liverpool have been looking pretty good in several positions for FPL, and it might be time to start considering Trent. He's failed to return just once since game week 9, either an attacking return or a clean sheet. He's had attacking returns in each of his last 3 appearances. So where there are so few clean sheets, that is exactly what we need from our defenders. He is incredibly expensive and it would probably take a bit of restructuring. 8 million is the price tag, but those that have their wildcards still could be able to find a way to get Trent into their sides. The wildcard needs to be used before the deadline to game week 20, which is on the 30th of December. So if you've got it still, you've got some great flexibility and a good opportunity to restructure your sides with much more information now that we're a long way into the season. If you're in the market for one of these premium priced assets, having a wildcard at this stage is invaluable. Trent has historically been one of the best FPL assets in the game. We thought he might have been a little bit overpriced despite all of that at 8 million, but if this form continues, he's going to be incredibly hard to ignore. If, like me, you've already used your wildcard and you can't afford someone like Trent, then a very appealing alternative is Pedro Porro. He is currently my number one defensive target, despite Spurs' frailties at the back. 5.3 million, so not the cheapest, but considerably more affordable than Trent Alexander-Arnold. Very good going forward. With Madison out, he's currently on set pieces and he's got 3 assists in his last 4 appearances. So some pretty good attacking returns there from Pedro Porro. Turning our attention to goalkeeping transfers, it does look like Alisson is back in training earlier than expected. So Kelleher buyers will be slightly concerned by that news, and the fact that they wouldn't have been able to have benefited from his absence for particularly long. That could also be problematic for anyone who's purchased him and their sub keeper is someone like Turner or Areola, as Turner's lost his place recently and Areola is still an injury doubt after missing the Spurs game in midweek. So a bit of a mess all round when it comes to goalkeepers in the game at the moment. I think that at the moment, the best keeper option in the game is probably Sanchez at Chelsea, particularly given the upcoming fixtures and his 4.6 million price. Now, I know Chelsea's form has been indifferent of late, but the reality is that no goalkeeper has been standout in the game so far this season. There's actually just 9 points that separate the top 8 scoring keepers in FPL so far this season. and two of the most popular keepers that FPL managers have been sort of rotating so far this season, Areola and Turner, neither of them feature in that top eight. So it's much of a muchness when it comes to selecting your goalkeeper. I personally think it's not worth overspending on them, given that most of them are underperforming. There's been no standout keeper option. Many have gone for Dubravka, like I did last week. He is very much a decent backup option, despite that defeat to Everton. I do think that once Newcastle get over the worst of their injuries, they will keep a few clean sheets. But we have to remember that Dubravka is not a long-term option for Newcastle. Once Pope is back fit, he will get his place in goal back, unless, of course, Newcastle decide to go into the market in January, in which case Dubravka's place could be under threat sooner than we would like. If you can afford a goalkeeper transfer this week or in the next couple, I would go for Sanchez, I think. Okay, let's quickly talk differentials now. The first one I'm putting forward is Jarrod Branthwaite of Everton. 2.8% owned and just 4.1 million for this very affordable defender. Back-to-back clean sheets for the Everton man. He plays 90 minutes every single week. Next to a Chelsea and Burnley. Not guaranteed by any means, but if you want to go for a nice affordable differential at the back, Branthwaite is the one I'm recommending. Next up, a midfield differential, it's Kulusevski. 2.6% owned, 7 million, and despite Spurs' form, he has looked very good on the ball and has played a lot in that creative central role that Maddison usually plays. Lots of attack going through him. Kulusevski got himself a goal and an assist against Manchester City before that West Ham game. Newcastle's away form is pretty horrendous, so I'm sure Kulusevski could help to continue that this Sunday if you fancy a bit of a punt in midfield. And the final differential I'm putting forward is Cunha at Wolves. 3.9% owned and 5.6 million. A great alternative third choice striker if you fancy going for a 3-4-3 formation. Very consistent form. He's actually picked up a goal or an assist in each of his last four consecutive appearances for Wolves. He faces a struggling Nottingham Forest side this weekend who have just conceded 5 to Fulham. Right then. A quick look at captaincy, and it's a two-horse race once again, Haaland or Salah. Salah away at Crystal Palace, that looks pretty good. Salah has been incredibly consistent all season. Haaland is away at Luton. That for me feels like the slightly more favourable option. I do think Luton conceding 4 in midweek against Arsenal will be absolutely gut-wrenching for them. I do think the spirit could be a little bit broken at Kenilworth Road, and as such, I'm leaning towards Haaland to fire Manchester City back to winning ways emphatically this weekend. Okay then, just time before we finish to run through my likely team ahead of game week 16. In goal, I've gone for Areola, who I'm picking ahead of Dubravka. Areola away at Fulham, Dubravka away at Spurs. I think there is a marginally better chance of Areola keeping the clean sheet. He is, of course, an injury doubt, so if he doesn't play, then Dubravka will just come in. My back three is Tsimikas, Gabriel, and Pedro Porro. He is the first of two free transfers that I have made this game week. Pedro Porro comes in for Pau Torres. Pau has done very well for me in the last few game weeks, including a goal against Tottenham and a clean sheet against Manchester City. However, I do want to quit while I'm ahead with the Aston Villa defender. I don't see too many more clean sheets on the horizon or attacking returns from him. Pedro Porro, on the other hand, has been getting attacking returns, and I've wanted him in my side for a little while, so glad to see him lining up for me. A midfield five consists of Salah, Saka, Cole Palmer, Heung-min Son, and my second free transfer to replace Mbeumo, it's Hwang Hee-chan. He faces Nottingham Forest this week. A front two is made up of Ollie Watkins and Erling Haaland. They've been mainstays in my side for quite a while now. Haaland gets the captain's armband. And my bench looks like this at the moment. Dubravka, then first choice sub is Archer. Second choice is Lascelles. And third is Taylor. That's it for this episode. A reminder once again that the deadline for game week 16 is Saturday, the 9th of December at 11 a.m. UK time. Good luck to everybody chasing green arrows. My name is Andy Johnson. You can find me on Twitter at AndyJAudio or at OneStopFPL. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll talk to you again soon.